riches, which is plural word, in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's just an awesome thought. But I'm going to open in prayer here. But that's the title of my sermon this morning. Lord, we just look to you, Lord God, for an anointing, Lord, for a blessing on our service, Lord God. Pray that you would anoint me to speak, Lord. Shake cobwebs out of me, Lord God, and just that I would have liberty this morning, Lord, to just preach your word, Lord. And I pray that you would anoint the ear to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I open, no doubt there's glorious riches by Christ for us. There's no doubt about that. So when non-believers or Pharisees look at our lives, they see something different. And that should be for every Christian. We're light in the darkness. We're light in the darkness. And I can't think of the other thing, but I'll just move on. There are glorious riches by Christ that every believer possesses. You can't hide these things. They are fruit. Fruit is produced on the outside of the tree. Love, meekness, kindness, you know, all these things. Temperance, you know, we're to be a temperate people in all things. These things you can't hide. You know, I think of in Muslim countries, a lot of times they hide their identity. And then when they all get together, they start taking off their head coverings and they start worshiping the Lord. But out in public, they can hide their identity. But love and all these other things, you can't hide that. Something happened in you to change your character. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. I think of the testimony of my cousin Jasmine. She saw something different in my sister. Beautiful was her words. And she wanted that for her and her daughter. Amen. And that's what brought her into this. Amen. There's people, they look at us and deep down they want what we have. Amen. I remember the Christian at my job, I just knew there was something different about him. You know, and I would talk to him and just ask him things about the Bible and, you know, just always interested in what's going on in your life, you know. Even though I didn't want to give up my life, but there was something about him that I did want, you know, and it was Jesus. It was those attributes of Jesus, you know. I mean, Jesus Christ is Lord that lives in us. I mean, that's awesome. That's beyond our comprehension. That's beyond anything we can understand or even try to explain to somebody. You know, when me and Pastor Terry went to that Muslim mosque, they were like, Paul was crazy. Paul actually thought that somebody was living in him and all these other things. It's like, you just don't get it, man. You know, like you just haven't received that revelation. And that's why a lot of them guys, they converted over because they didn't understand the word. And maybe that Muslim religion meant they could understand it, they could grasp it, you know. But the word you can understand, you can't grasp it. There's certain things about the word that you're just going to have to believe it by faith. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to share some familiar things with you today, but I hope I encourage you. Jesus proclaimed things like, before Abraham was, I am. John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He's saying, I am God. I am the great I am that sent Moses to the children of Israel, that turned Moses' hand into a leprous hand when he put it into his pocket. And then when he put it into his pocket again, it wasn't leprous anymore. That when Moses dropped his stick on the ground, he turned it into a serpent. That's who Jesus is saying, I am, in this sentence. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who in their right mind wouldn't want something like that in their lives? Everybody's searching for peace. Everybody's searching for, you know, everybody has a counselor nowadays. You know, they're looking for answers. And Christ, and in Christ is the answer. Revelation verse 19, 16. It says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, this is it. This is just awesome. Jesus is awesome. He's all in all. He's everything you could want, desire to have. Amen. These are just testimonies of Jesus' lordship. This doesn't even touch on his love toward us. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Could you imagine parents in here giving up your son for anybody? For grandma or grandpa? Anybody? I couldn't, but God, that's that love. I mean, it says in Isaiah that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise him. I mean, that is something. That is something that just woos you. Amen. It just grips you and takes you into his presence. Praise God. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, I have a story here. One day I was making breakfast, and I was just throwing eggs on the stove, you know, and the next thing you know, I'm like, I need the black pepper. So I'm running to the pantry. The eggs are cooking over here, and I'm like running around the kitchen with my, like a chicken with his head cut off, you know, to make these eggs. Then the next time I'm like, I'm going to prepare everything before I start making this stuff. So I have the black pepper here. I have everything I want and desire right in front of me so I don't have to. And then I have like a plan. You know, and this is what God does for us. He has things prepared for us. He has things in place for us that walk in his will and that do his purpose. He's orchestrating things in heaven. I mean, that's something to shout about. Amen. That's something to have joy and just peace about. I mean, it's awesome. These things are awesome. Ephesians 1, 5, and 6. I mean, it just keeps getting better. Honestly. Ephesians. I'm not too good on my smartphone yet to just be popping all this stuff up. So, Ephesians 1, 5, and 6. Having Jesus predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Somebody that adopts children and they really are in it to adopt a child, that child doesn't feel any different than that blood child. You know, and there are testimonies in this church of that. And they feel like brother and sister, blood. You know, and that's what it says here. We were predestined to be adopted of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Everything good here. And to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. Amen. We are accepted. We are an accepted and a loved people. Everybody desires to be accepted and loved in their little circles. But we're accepted and loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God that created everything. He made the mountains, created the ocean. He did everything for us and for his good pleasure. To do stuff for us was his pleasure. Does that make sense? To gather the children of Israel and bring them back to Jerusalem in the Old Testament was a pleasure for the children of Israel. They got great joy out of it. David said, how could we sing a song in a strange land? Amen. But when they came back, they picked up their harps and their trembles and they danced before the Lord again. Amen. And that was the pleasure, but that was mainly the pleasure of God. He said, I did it for my name's sake. Not for you, but for me I did this. But all that pleasure that the Lord was receiving by doing that was giving pleasure to his children. I mean, what a great God. What a great God. People should look at us and see a free people and a people that are not ashamed. And as I say all this, we got to remember that a tree doesn't grow overnight. Amen. Some people are going through things and Christians are struggling with things. I get all that. You know, tree doesn't grow overnight. But in due time, it will produce fruit. Praise God. Romans verse 10, chapter 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We don't need to be ashamed. You know, I know of people that done horrible things that can openly confess what they've done, knowing they're forgiven. I mean, horrible things. They can openly confess what they've done because they know the blood covers that. Amen. They're still reaping what they're sowing. Some of them, their daughters still won't talk to them. You know, their baby mama still won't talk to them in that circumstance. But they're not ashamed anymore. They're forgiven. They're free. They're walking in that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 8, verse 32. It says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. You're free people this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Who in their right mind or wrong mind wouldn't want this? Amen? Who wouldn't want this? I mean, for thou hast created all things. That's what we sing to him. Job is right. Job chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. I know this is a lot of scripture, but it's just going here. It says, but ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? Amen. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 9, speaks of a familiar scripture. It says, Jonah's proclaiming to the people, and he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. What an awesome God. You would think everybody would flock to this God. Amen? I mean, just to go on with this, in Jesus' ministry, he fed 5,000 with 5 barley leaves and 2 small fish with plenty of leftovers. Amen? Turned 6 water pots with 2 or 3 firkins of water in each water pot. That's 18 to 27 gallons of water in each water pot. Turn that into good wine. His disciples caught so many fish that their net broke and their and their bowels started to sink. He made the lame jump in a matter of seconds. The blind see, cast demons out of boys jumping in the fire, raised the dead that was in the tomb for 4 days already. There's so much more. Jesus is it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. People want God, and they should when they look at your life. When they look at the Christian's life, they should want God. Amen. Whether you're rich or poor, people should see light, life, victory, Christ in you. Amen. I could go on and on. I mean, Scripture says, angels behold the face of God always. Matthew 18:10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven there are angels. Do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So why is straight the gate and narrow the way that leadeth to life? This is my thought. This is where this scripture, where this sermon really just went into my heart. Because I think of all these great things. And you just think, why? Why wouldn't people want this? So why is straight the gate, narrow the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it? And can you put those scriptures up for me, Devin? I think of these scriptures, Luke 9:57-62. Says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Could you imagine if the Lord pressed on you? You're in between a funeral arrangements, and he's pressing on you. I want you to move to Montana. I want you to move to Africa. Or I want you to go minister here. And you're like, can I go after the funeral? The funerals, you know, it's next, it's Saturday. Can I go on Sunday? And he says, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell. Let me just go say bye to my parents, which are at home in my house. My brother that I grew up with, my sister. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. These are some scriptures that hit home. Amen. And I have here, Jesus didn't say, yeah, follow me. There's so much in this for you. I mean, you'll never die. You have resurrection power. Miracles will be sought by your hands in the name of Jesus. No, Jesus spoke of the cost. The Lord said, I will show Paul all the things he will suffer. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I heard a preacher say a long time ago, Jesus is not an accessory or something you add unto your life. He is your life. Moses told the children of Israel to choose life. life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Life. This is your whole life, church. This is my whole life. There is a big cost in all this. Jesus spoke out major cost. He didn't come to bring peace, but a sword to divide up families. I'm going to put your brother and your sister at variance against each other. Your mother-in-law and sister-in-law at variance against each other. And we have testimonies all over this church of that. Jesus told Christians they will fast. How many in here like to eat? I do. Pick up your cross daily. Deny yourself. Follow me. If people come preaching, indulge, indulge, no denial of self, they're not preaching this gospel. I get Jesus said, I came eating and drinking, but Jesus is the greatest example of self-denial you will find in the Bible. Amen. He had authority to call down legions of angels. He denied that power to drink down the cup of wrath of the Father. Most people, when they have authority, they like it and they want to use it. Some don't. I would hate to be a boss, honestly. But Jesus had the authority to call down legions of angels. He didn't do it. Amen. So me and you can be saved. But more importantly, I believe he wanted to do the will of the Father. Amen. I remember when Lee Shipp preached that here. Oh, man. That hit me like a ton of bricks. Praise God, we're saved by his blood. Amen. We're saved by the sacrifice of God. Of the God that has all authority, all power, all everything. We're saved by his sacrifice. I preached on the streets before. He created the tree they hung him on. That's powerful. Jesus said, the greatest in my kingdom shall be servant of all. Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. Matt was talking about being a servant this morning. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And then the greatest example of all time, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't just leave you there. I tell people this, Jesus would never expect you to do something that he didn't already do. He led by example. Everything he tells you to do, he did it times 10. Amen. That's what the Chinese brother always said. What was his name? Anybody know his name? Young. He always said, I never suffered more than my Savior. I never suffered more than my Savior. That was always his answer. Man. Apostle Paul said to die is gain. Amen. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. Change us, Lord. Amen. When you get saved, your life isn't about your career, money, sports, children, wife, anything. It's about the will of God. Matthew 10, chapter 37. Says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Not worthy. That's strong words. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Not for the sake of your career, not for the sake of so many other idols in this life, but for my sake, you'll find yourself in that. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 and 10. It says here, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, it tells the church. Don't be deceived. Don't let this get in your church. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. People don't want to stop doing these things. That's another reason that gate is narrow. The way is narrow, the gate is straight. People don't want to stop. It says in Genesis 3, verse 6. This was powerful to me. Talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she saw that tree was good to eat. She liked that. And so do a lot of people. So do we. We like things that are on that tree. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself. Because it'd be so easy to go to that tree and just eat of it. But deny that. Deny that lust. Amen. You know, people see you, Christian, and say, I want that. But I've also heard, man, I wish I knew you in the day. I would love to get high with you just once. People told me that. People see you, Christian, but they also see the cost. And they also see the fruit on that tree with good and knowledge on it. And bad knowledge on it, and that the tree is good for food. So they see the Christian life in you, they see the cost, and they also see that that tree is good for food. That's powerful. I feasted off that tree for 22 years. And I loved it. And now as a Christian, I think the good knowledge tempts me. Now as a Christian, I think the good knowledge tempts me more than the bad knowledge. I don't want to go out and do everything that I used to want to do that was bad for me anymore. There's a lot of good knowledge on that tree that could take me away from the Lord. Get me rich or a lot of things, amen. I think that sometimes tempts me more than all that bad stuff that I used to do. Me and you, let's feast off the tree of life and sacrifice, and seek, give, and focus on knowing him more. We can pray for them. We can hope for them. It's God's will that not one of them should perish. A lot of people have sons out here. A lot of people have brothers and stuff that aren't saved out here. Friends. But we can, but let's rejoice that we are. Let's not get so sucked into that. There's a time to mourn. Amen. There's a time to mourn, but there's a time to rejoice. Amen. We're accepted in the beloved. Rejoice in that.
Hallelujah.
Let's end it with this. Philippians 3, verse 10. Oh, I can't even find it. It's that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And then this is the cost. Power of his resurrection, everybody wants that. Fellowship of his suffering. That balances it all out. Being made conformable unto his death. You know, I was at that camp meeting in California, and this was the main thing, to know him. And one of them preachers got up there and said, Paul wrote that in his later years. Paul wrote that in his later years.